This reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23, and you can find it on your service sheets. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray before I begin. Dear Father God, as we come to this, your word, be in our hearts and minds. Open it to us afresh. Teach us and guide us and grow us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this morning's reading finds us back in the Gospel of Matthew. And I'd like us to take a look at three things. I know it's very rare for me to do a three-point sermon, but, well, I thought I'd give it a go. I can do it occasionally. Firstly, the writer of this Gospel, Matthew, is what we're going to look at. What's he doing and why? And then secondly, we'll take a moment with Joseph. And then finally, as my third point, as way of a conclusion, we will look at what it really means when we say God is with us. So, to Matthew's Gospel. The Holy Family have just experienced the wonder and delight of three foreign visitors, Magi from the East. The joy of that you will have next week in our, I think it's Epiphany it's called, in the church calendar. And you'll have the opportunity to witness that again. But for now, we have skipped along the timeline since Wednesday morning. Yes, that was only a few days ago. Tuesday was somebody's special birthday, wasn't it, Maria? Happy 90th. And Wednesday we greeted Jesus afresh and said hallelujah and amen as we agreed that his presence was with us on earth, and we move now from that new birth to the aftermath of the big celebration and party. And we find ourselves hearing Matthew externally processing all that he knows and has experienced of his Lord through the threads of his own story as a disciple of Jesus, the history of his lifetime as a man who grew up under Herod and his three sons under the larger umbrella of the Roman occupation. And from the scriptures, he knows and is now poring over as he and the community of believers are starting to, in that post-Easter age, they're starting to understand what has happened in and through Jesus. It's as if several threads of one tale are beginning to come together, and the magnitude of the good news entrusted to Matthew to share with the world has taken on a brighter, more vibrant meaning. That sudden journey in the middle of the night to Egypt is foretold. Hosea spoke of it. Out of Egypt I called my son. The threads of this eternal story are beginning to make sense. And as Matthew continues to write and flip between what is and what has been, a complete picture is emerging. Have you ever looked at a tapestry? A tapestry, as we know, has got two sides, hasn't it? There's a front, which shows the pattern or the picture, and then there's the back, which is often messy and complicated looking. You can see, if you look closely, all the different threads and colours, but the pattern and picture are impossible to make out. If you ever get an opportunity to work on such a piece, weaving and layering, you need to keep flipping between the front and the back just to keep an eye on how things are going and get a sense of where you are. And sometimes you just need to take a step back and stop and take in the whole piece so you can see where everything is and how it all fits together. So we can see in Matthew, he's continuing with this flipping between what was and what is, and he comes to a tough knot as he describes the horrific events known but not reported about in Bethlehem. As a paranoid Herod attempts to eliminate the newborn king of the Jews, just as he did any other potential usurpers to his position of power. There was a reason why Emperor Augustus once said of him, "It's better to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his sons." Herod's got form. He's killed his brother-in-law. He killed two of his own sons just because of rumours that they were trying to gain his position of power. Herod was known to be corrupt and abused his position ceaselessly. He was a fearful man and always violent in his reactions. Matthew gives these voiceless victims an epitaph, using Jeremiah's lament as the mother of Israel, Rachel, is shown to be weeping. The response of the people of God as 20 to 30 little boys are slaughtered and the collective wound of loss is finally mourned. It's a disturbing narrative, to be sure, and it sobers us. But it does contain a kernel of good news. The injustice of a world run by rebels against God cannot thwart his ultimate purposes for justice in that world. For this atrocity did not stop God's plan. Joseph listened and obeyed the angel's words of warning and took Jesus to safety in Egypt. And from all of Matthew's rummaging around in scripture and thinking through his experiences and the relaying of the historical narrative from that time, what can we see? Well, Matthew has exposed us both a bit of the back and a bit of the front of God's complete story, so that we can see that we do truly have a Saviour. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. This isn't just any old person born into the line of David. And his coming has got more than just a simple celebration attached to it. It's not about Christmas trees and presents and mince pies and turkey. There is more to this Jesus than you first might think. And in this telling of the good news, Matthew, through how he's doing it and what he's saying, is encouraging us to keep on looking. You've heard the good news. You've believed the good news, perhaps. Keep reading. Keep reflecting on what you have experienced and get closer to God. Listen to him as he speaks to you. And then see what you might experience. Joseph's relationship with God, my second point. As I said last week, it was strong and it was long. Yet when God had a specific role for him to join in with, that relationship took a new turn. And just like his namesake, Joseph dreamed many dreams. And from those experiences, this earthly father got all the support and advice that he needed to know what course of action to take and when. How does God speak to you? When you fall asleep, does he speak to you in dreams? Does he give you a picture? Does a word of scripture come to mind and won't leave your head until you've explored it further? Do people come across your path and say something and it just makes your heart beat that little bit faster? Because you know it's got something to do with that thought that's twiddling around in your head. God still speaks to us today. And he has found a way for you to hear him. But are you listening? 2020 could be a time of encounter, a time to come close to God and work out your communication between our Lord and yourself. Joseph's relationship with God was developed to a point that God knew that Joseph heard him most clearly and most pointedly through dreams. Dreams it was. What's our mode of communication and listening? When God gives us a task to do, we can often get that initial conviction and go, yep, that's what God's calling me into. I'm called to do X or Y or Z. And God gives you all the energy and the oomph, and you go, yes, I'm off, I'm running. But is that it? Does God just sort of wind you up, set you off in a direction, and off you go under your own steam? Using your own strength and your own wisdom to find out your own way to make God's will on earth be done? That's not true. There's more to it than that. And Joseph is showing us in this passage that that is not true. For as with Joseph, the roles and tasks God encourages us to join in with, remember, you still have choice, you can say no. I'd rather you didn't, but you can still say no. They're often far beyond our skill set. Do you think I arrived here and started this journey like this? Able to preach, to stand at the front, to sing with three notes? No. God calls us into things that quite often are way beyond our skill set, beyond our experiences and our confidence levels. Joseph had a job. Joseph had a livelihood. He was a carpenter, wasn't he? And he had an extended family in Bethlehem. That was his hometown. He could utilize all of them if needed. Yet he was called out of there to a place that no Jew went out of choice. Egypt. There is no way Joseph would have known Herod's decision back in the palace. He wasn't a courtier. He wasn't a leader. So his human protection skills would have been no match to the army Herod sent out to do his bidding. But Joseph trusted God and had already been supported and knew Jesus was God's own. So when the angel spoke, notice, just like you did when I asked you, I need some stuff to go on a journey. You didn't dally. You didn't hesitate. And nor did Joseph. He got up. He went out in faith, knowing that God's hand was on him and showing that God was with him in this for the long haul. Not just at the initial start, but at every step of the journey, from the beginning all the way through to the end. So Jesus goes to Egypt with Mary and Joseph. It's no holiday jaunt, as I've already said. No Jew went to Egypt out of choice. But here was a place of safety, out of the reach of Herod. He has no jurisdiction there, but it wasn't easy. They had to survive as refugees, abandoning any livelihood Joseph may have developed in Bethlehem, and undoubtedly probably travelling a little bit lighter than I would today. They had no means, no family, no home. This path that Jesus was travelling was not going to be an easy one, and it challenges our misconceptions that when you come to faith in Christ, it means it's going that you have some sort of divine right to an easy life. From its very beginning, the story of Jesus challenges such a premise. Of the millions of refugees and other impoverished people throughout the world that we see on the news and we know about through the charities that we support, and the people that have survived it in our congregation. We know that some are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many others have not yet heard how much he loves them. Yet God, as the Christ child, experienced the same suffering they did and they do. He walked the same path they did and they do today. No bed, no food, few possessions, and always the stigma of being different from those whom they live alongside. Cursed, spat at, shoved and pushed out to the margins of society. Yet, just because Jesus needed to find a place of safety, he went. As Matthew's reading draws to a close, we come to my third and concluding point. with a change from sorrow to joy, as the family are told once again by an angelic messenger that they can go home. It's safe. The gospel writer draws us close once again to that story of old, showing us the threads of joy and sorrow that Jesus experienced as both fully human and fully divine. So that when I say, and if you ever say, God is with us, you know that he is and has been truly with us in good times and bad, in suffering and joy. And he always will be. Amen.